Welcome. This is a discussion based on the Aramanic yoga practice within Libra HVHI and Luciferian witchcraft, building to the concept of Steota and the law of vibrations. This is intended for practice within the defined elements of Luciferian witchcraft as practice and potential religious practice. The method of yoga is nothing new. It's derived in practice from Kundalini yoga, which is essentially the raising of the fire serpent from the base of the spine to the brain. And the difference between traditional right-hand path Kundalini yoga and Aramanic yoga is, by all accounts, found in purpose rather than practice. So essentially, it's the same practice, different purpose. The Kundalini, or as I call it, Asi, or serpent, is the power of fire, which by Zoroastrian accounts is purity incarnate. In Manichaean heretical views, fire is both light and darkness. So essentially the energy of the Druj, which is a dragon or serpent, is found within the body and mind first. For the practitioner to realize the path of Aramanic ideology, he or she must be certain that all begins within the self as a point of beginning and end. So there we see the word which comes to mind is Azathas, which is beginning and end. It doesn't relate to some god outside the self, but it relates with the circle of self, the foundations of sorcery. So essentially the foundation is that you are the only God that is, and there are no other spirits outside of yourself, and whether you believe that there are or are not is irrelevant. Whether you're a theistic Satanist, a Luciferian, a chaos magician, doesn't matter. That you have to recognize those powers and that balance within the self first. One of the greatest concepts in the Luciferian witchcraft tradition, as we are working with it, is that the adversary manifests only through the individual. If you attempt to worship Satan, Ahriman, Lucifer, in any form outside of your own self-deification, then essentially you disqualify your spirit, you disqualify your psychological foundations to where you don't think like the adversary. If you don't think like it, you won't become that. So remember foundation and focus above all. So, in speaking about Kundalini, this concept is considered to be the goddess of speech, thus finding connections with the concept of Dushupta, found in the Yutuk Dano, relating to the evil word by planning of one's own words to create a desired effect. So evil's not a moralistic concept in these books, but rather a spiritual aim. Evil as an antinomian, or moving against the path. So the adept essentially arouses Kundalini, often by the use of vibration, to awaken the mind and raise the serpents within. Vibration is a key to arousing fire snake. The use of steotas are designed in this manner, allowing the mind concentration and a focus on a subconscious and conscious level to manifest. This is very important in knowing that foundations are everything, and if you attempt to practice Steota without the discipline and control needed, then you may have the adverse effect, and the concept of Luciferian witchcraft is to become powerful in spirit, mind, body, and is not to destroy the self. So Kundalini is considered also consciousness. So in our terms, she is the instinctual drive as Lilith or Az or Jai, which refer to the mother of demons, the whore, etc. So in this, she is Shakti, that she begets all others, and she is the desire for continued existence in time. So immortality is the goal, essentially, in spirit. In utilizing the practice of aromatic yoga, I want to remind everyone that using the concept of vampirism in terms of controlling and encircling energy in the body should be a very useful path if later on considered through the chakra points. So discussing the seven chakras, the main ones, we'll start with the Muladhara chakra, which is at the base of the spine. This chakra is related to Taromati, who is a demoness of rebellion. This is at the base of the spine, represents timelessness, atavistic memory, and discontentment. The Svadhisthana chakra relates to Aishma, who is Asmodeus, the demon of the wounding spear and the wielder of the bloody mace. This relates to the sort of the navel area slightly below and relates to reason, emotion, lust, obtainment, and aggression. Aishma is very important because this is one of the powers which controls the dragons or the six archdevas. Aishma is the invisible force which motivates these. So this relates to the consciousness and spirit of the Yatus or sorcerer in the Luciferian tradition. And then we have the Manipura chakra, which relates to the solar plexus, and this relates to Neon Hayatha, who is a demon of rebellion, archdeva of rebellion, desire for command in earth and spirit, willpower. This is Dushvarshta, which is evil deed, and this is very important in the process of the work. And then we go up towards the Anahata chakra, which is related to Andar, and this is the heart and center. Relates to understanding the union of the black flame with the desire of the spirit. Moving on, we have the Vishuddha chakra, relating to Savar, which is the throat, and Dushukta, which is evil word, a voice which commands, communicates, and by vibration manifests the world it desires. So this is sorcery. We have the Ajna chakra, which is related to Akaman, the evil eye, or evil mind, and this relates to the third eye, Dushmada, evil thought, spiritual sight, and the evil mind, immortal consciousness, and spiritual independence. So Akaman is very, very important in the Luciferian and Aromatic paths. And the Sahasrara chakra relates to Ahriman and the crown, and Anagra Tema, which is endless darkness. This is the dragon awakened, sort of the beast rising through the body and awakening in the mind, the union of the angelic or higher consciousness and the demonic or the lower and more raw power aspects of the self. So it's very important in the practice of Aromatic Yoga. You want to begin with the base of the spine in Taramati, and an essential practice is to actually sit yourself in a comfortable yet discipline-oriented position, and to begin by closing the eyes, focusing on and visualizing a fire serpent at the base of the spine. And this may take form from the various elements of your body and start coiling around your spine and rising up. Some of the magical practice utilized in the Luciferian path is twin serpents, a black and red. No matter how you want to look at it, as this ascends, you can visualize it coming from your shoulders, as in the tale of Azi Dahaka. Moving forward with Taramati, envision aspects of rebellion within your life, things that you do that you don't want to do anymore. This may be a faith-based type of approach, something that you know, you've always went to church, or you had family functions that involved you kind of knee-bending to the ideology, or whatever that is. It can be any type of rebellion. Essentially, the Luciferian practitioner would reject those aspects within the mind and body. So you wouldn't practice them in any kind of intent way. So this can relate also to some kind of bad trait within yourself. So if you smoke and you don't want to, if you drink and you don't want to, if you have bad habits like you never clean your house, or you know, that you've always been late, or one of those things, you can utilize that as a point of starting in this aspect of yoga towards building a routine against that. So Taramati is a very meaningful start to the process of yoga in visualizing a demoness who represents discontentment. As you're in this sphere and you focus on this within the spine and the body, move and visualize the fire serpent moving up to the next chakra point. And this would be the Ayishma chakra and the navel area. And this relates to reason, emotion, lust. So it's primarily a sexual focus, and we know libido, or the sexual urge, is what drives us to achieve and become and all of those things. So Ayishma represents a powerful force in motivating the other aspects of the chakras. So it is suggested to focus on those as well. Ayishma, you may visualize anything you wish to, in that this spirit is formless and has no specific form except within Western demonology around the Middle Ages. So as you move through Ayishma, imagine tendrils coming from that aspect, that chakra, moving up through the body, moving through the navel area upwards. So the serpent takes that aspect, grows from it, and goes further up to the Nayon Hayatha, or the solar plexus chakra. And we're relating to the hell of Dushvarsta, which is evil deeds. So this is rebellion and desire for command in earth and spirit. So this relates also in Western demonology, early Judeo-Christian ideology, as Belial, Belial, the Lord of the Earth. So this is the concept, earliest concept, of the Antichrist. And in the Luciferian tradition, the Antichrist represents every single magician or every single Luciferian who takes charge of his or her life. It doesn't represent a figure to come or anything like that. It's a liberation symbol. So in Nayon Hayatha, focus on the aspects of what you want to achieve in this world, and how by doing something every day, whether it's small or big, that is a deed that will add to another deed. So do that with focus, vision, will, determination. Those things will achieve accordingly. Moving upward with the fire serpent, you're taking the traits that you already have built within the self. You're bringing those out, and you're moving up to Andar, which is the heart and center chakra. And this is understanding and the union of the black flame with the desire of the spirit. So this is where Samael and Lilith sort of interact and intertwine, and the emanations they send to each other motivate the opposite. So this is a very important aspect in the use of satanic or Luciferian magic, in that it allows you to become by accepting that. So the heart and center is understand what you are today, and you may begin to separate those points of yourself which aren't really yourself and don't relate to the spirit, but are conditioned aspects of the physical body and conscious mind. So utilizing the spirit and the subconscious through the use of Leviathan or concepts such as that will awaken a PowerPoint that will cause limited potential in what you want to achieve. Moving forward, moving the fire serpent up, you reach the throat chakra, which is Savar, and this is the leader of demons or devs in the aromatic aspect. And so this relates to Dushuta, or the hell of the evil word, and this relates to voice and how you communicate to others. And this goes to common sense ideological situation. Moving onward, we look to the Savar as the voice which commands and communicates. So anything in your life that needs to obtain by vocalization or communication with others should be spoken in a clear and defined manner. Never should you just blindly say things to people without articulating and considering the effect they'll have. And we see this in politics and business and every aspect of life, from commercials to any type of media in the world. Think about how you communicate with your aunt as compared to your grandmother. It may be different, and the way you word things may be different as opposed to, say, your grandmother and your mother. So communication is the key to achieving in the world. And this voice relates also to how you perceive things and how you approach things. So Savar is the leader of demons. Moving upward with the serpent, we go to Akaman, or the third eye, and we relate to Dushmata, or evil thought. So here is the evil mind, immortal consciousness, and spiritual independence. Akaman is a very important archdeva as it relates to the spirit. And so in moving the serpent up, the twin serpents will, if you visualize, move out of the shoulders, such as Azi Dahaka. And this is an awakened adept in the Luciferian ideological assumption. Akaman relates to the power of the sorcerer, of the Yatis, those who are able to perceive. This is a fine line between serpent instinct and articulate being. So you have the angelic and demonic joined in one and balance, night and day. Akaman is the spirit which moves when you sleep in spirit, if you focus on astral projection. This is also the defining motivator in your life of what you want to achieve and how you wish to do it. So as you reach the third eye, this is a powerful exercise if you're utilizing ritual magic or silent workings or even tarot reading. It can be defined differently accordingly. Moving upward to the crown, and this is the Anangra Tema, or endless darkness, and this relates to the crown or Ahriman, and this is the prince of darkness, and this is sort of the dragon arisen within the self, so the Antichrist crowned. So in doing this, you're empowering yourself. Visualize any of these aspects of imagery to motivate your initiatory process. It's very important. Utilizing the chakras in any type of preparatory ritual aspect would be no more than 10 to 15 minutes once you develop the practice and have your own way of working. But it is useful in any type as a preparatory stage before any type of actual magic practice. This may relate to the Holy Guardian Angel or Luciferian Angel rites as described in Luciferian witchcraft. This can actually be in some ways as powerful as the Azazel ritual, which is Azazel and Lucifer joined in sigillic union. So these can be very important in any process that you use. So, moving forward to the knowledge of Steota and the law of vibrations, I presented the concept and incidentally my magical name as Akht or Aktaya, and it was presented in the original story of Madigan I Yost I Franan, a tale of the test between Akht and Yost, one who was called a holy man by the Zoroastrian faith. Akht being the manifestation or vessel of Ahriman. So Akht in the ancient Avestan language represents filth, pestilence, and evil. And Akht is also considered a founder and a heretic, materialized as the Yatupdino and sort of the founder of that religious path or ritual practice. And they were considered a coven of demons that were wanderers or nomadic spirits. Akht was considered evil because he sought to trap those seeking the holy path in filth and pestilence. So he's basically a tester or ensorceler of magic. Akht is the initiator of the left-hand path and awakens the primal atavisms of that of those of the path of self-destruction. So essentially, the path that strays from all others, the left-hand path or Luciferian path, will bring you through the darkness of the self to understand it, to know it, and to ascend accordingly. So a steoda, which is in no other terms a just like an alphabet of desire, or what we call shadow tongue, and these are sorcerer spell words of power, and they were created actually to empower and awaken primal sorcerous knowledge within the waking and dreaming body of the warlock or witch. These words are utterances of the abyss, demonic mantras of power, which lead to an end of each riddle. So in focusing each steota, this is the subconscious language, the realm of Leviathan. This is draconian words that motivate your spells and power, your subconscious, to cause the change you desire. So let's move to the actual practice of steota. And so in working with a steota, just like the Enochian language or any other, you should focus on this as a vibration, and your words should seemingly flow from you in your ritual practice. You can do this under the tongue, or you can do it in a more loud aspect. All of the inverted afferens or spells of the Avesta that were utilized in the Luciferian path or Aramaic path are actually recited in a similar way by the originals. So to go over some of these words and how they'd be utilized, we have several categories. And the first category is in Luciferian witchcraft, for the vortex of sorcerous power, that which is created from within. So as we defined early on, the within is the first, or the standpoint from which everything is formed. So we have the first word, which would be recited, Zarazarsu, Zarazusu, Zarazusu. And this word represents the eye which fell. So this relates to sort of Akoman, or the fallen consciousness, the unity of heaven and hell within. And this type of a word can be chanted in that way, or you can do it in a way such as Zarasu, Zarasu, Zarasu. And as you focus these words, the meaning becomes blurred. And what that means is the conscious mind will forget the meaning of this, and the subconscious mind fully is aware of the meaning, to where that transference of knowledge is seen, so that hidden knowledge becomes a powerful tool in what you want to achieve. And if you put some of these words and you focus on these words together, you can achieve a powerful initiatory experience from dreaming to waking towards anything you wish to achieve. So they blur the line between low and high magic, if you will, because it causes change within and change outside, based on the warlock or witch. We have another word, Zaraza, which is very common in this type of practice, which means under the charms of the moon, of the kiss which brings blood. So the kiss which brings blood relates to vampirism, from dreaming and sexual practice for those who do that. But also it represents the kiss which Ehriman gave to the whore, which caused menstruation, or the blood of the moon, a powerful aspect of many spell workings and so forth. So this word would be pronounced Zaraza, Zaraza, Zaraza. Or it could be something that's rolled lower as Zaraza, Zaraza. Whatever you do with these words, it may be based on your own type of practice and what you want to achieve and what you feel comfortable with. And we have words as Drakala, the dragon which walks between the worlds. Dalazana, those who behold the world of darkness. And then one word which is commonly used is Izadrana, shall I become transformed? So, an example of utilizing two words together, if you put, if you wanted to take divine consciousness, so the watchers or an Aramaic spirit, a fallen angel, and you want to awaken the powers within the mind to visualize both an angelic consciousness and a demonic. So you want to understand the higher articulation, the drive of what you wish, and the primal desire to achieve that. You would use it in this way. You would take the word Zarazu, the eye which fell, and put it with Izadrana, shall I become transformed? Okay, so you could also utilize a third word, Yatu Kshala, by the sorcerer's belief can the darkness be made flesh. So this is how a Yatus or a Luciferian would use this type in magical practice from Luciferian witchcraft. You would focus on those three words or the meanings, and then you would recite them in a mantra, and that would be in this type of a manner. As you're reciting these words, be sure and focus on this coiling serpent within, and it's building from your spine through the chakras up through the crown. So this becomes the power that becomes by this visualization, by these aspects of sonic black magic or transformative magic. Zarazu Izrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izudrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izidrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izidrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izidrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izidrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izudrana Yatu Kshala, Zarazu Izudrana Yatu Kshala, Azaru Izudrana Yatu Kshala, Azarazu Izudrana Yatu Kshala. So that's how that type of a spell would be utilized. Then we have Steotis for Sabbatic practice. So this is essentially the Dream Sabbat, which is something really devised, and as all of this work that holds relation to Austin Osmondsbear, the artist and sort of the modern mage, who in some ways was more significant, or just as significant as Aleister Crowley. So if we focus on some of those words, Alusanamak, which represents my flesh is transcended by dusk. So these are more abstract words relating to a type of mantric practice that would be utilized before sleeping, before the night or solstice night, before magical practice and dreaming. So if you look at some of the words, Ozostra, the darkness which makes Druge arise in strength, so that's the serpent within, so the spirit, the instinct, the sorcerer, or Yatus in itself. And we have Bakalala, which represents to seek the horns which embrace shadow, yet is illuminated by light. So this is Baphomet, or the horn god of the Sabbat, representing the magician. In many aspects, we go to a Stadota to destroy and cast the spirit into the abyss. Those words may be utilized in this manner if you're using an image, a hair, something of the individual, and you're reciting this Stadota. You would focus on their destruction as you're coiling this power. So you may give it a color such as a crimson or a black or a fiery yellow color that's circling and coiling. And as you're building the pressure by reciting these mantras, you're visualizing this sphere getting larger and larger, and then it will contract in your mind's eye, and then it will explode and shoot forth to the victim. You may use the Algol sigil to project it through. These are very important aspects of that type of sorcery. Then we have the Steota to absorb the spirit which attacks me. So this is one of the most powerful aspects of sorcery that I have personally used, is that for a number of years, I use a method which utilizes anyone who curses me. That curse shall instantly strengthen me and will in effect return to them. It's the subconscious desire for self-destruction. By someone throwing, a type of unknown curse would be invoking. So it's a kind of giving them a loaded gun, proverbially, without actually even knowing about it. So this is a very important aspect of sorcery and protection. So there's one aspect called Akushta, which represents the black dragon is within, my shadow shall grow and take mighty shape. And you can utilize that aspect with Azakokayam, which represents serpents black eating from sleeping brains of whom I desire, relating to Azidahaka. So if you're focusing on a cleansing ritual and you perform this cleansing ritual or healing ritual, then you could utilize these two terms, or actually three terms, as Kurusunus, which represents blackened serpents, expand thy darkness of my being to grow while my body sleeps. So this would be utilized in the same manner of focusing on the coiling serpents and the power around the astral body, as Akurushartal as Kolhayam as Karnuis Akarnastar as Izokaram as Surnuis Akarushta as Alkaram as Karnuis Akarnastar as Kolhayam as Krosuis. And you would recite them accordingly before sleep or at the end of a ritual. It's in the same manner of which one would use the Enochian keys in ritual. So in saying this, we have some powerful tools of sorcerer's practice for any type of rituals you may do, and I strongly advise that the practitioners utilize this method and develop it according to your own individual needs. What I utilize for some shadow tongue, another may find no depth in. And if you don't, then you need to change it so it can work accordingly to your needs. And this is based on individual methods of sorcery. The primary difference between Luciferian witchcraft and chaos magic is that we're not using paradigm shifts. This is an ideology based on the adversary. It's also a spiritual, religious experience for those who can move up through this practice and really get a hold of it. If you're toying with the aspects of Luciferian witchcraft and then you move on to, you know, white path magic or something like that, then you're not going to find much depth in the concepts of Luciferian witchcraft because they're really defined by practice. And as you practice it, you'll find an acceleration of your instincts and power and magical ability. So it's very important to utilize those correctly. So in saying, use this sorcerous foundation for all that you do as you begin your path on the concepts of Luciferian witchcraft. This has been Michael Ford, and I thank you for your time.